Amen. Okay, we do have a handout coming. Let's go to 3 verses we'll look at today. Let's start off with Amos 3:3. Kathy, how is your dad? What's the report? Okay. So the lab work, did that tell him anything or not?
The only thing that I hit her mutics number, I think that for me was negative. That was positive.
Okay.
But other than that, he's probably got a lot of work in here.
Okay. Pray for Mr. Samet as he battles this cancer, and trust the Lord to carry him through. Amen. All right, so let's turn to a number of verses here. We're going to do some contrasting verses. Amos chapter number 3. Amos 3:3, famous verse in the book of Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course, that's a question mark, but a rhetorical answer, right? Okay. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. First John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, Thomas, could you get that board for me, please? Find it somewhere back there in the midst of all the props. Okay. This is a great verse, but notice what it's stating. Well, if we go two more verses, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we have three characters mentioned here. We have the ground that God is walking on. Right? Figuratively. Then we have the disciples who are walking on that same ground with God. Okay? Now, he's saying, these things have written unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. Okay? So, we're going to make a picture here. You like my pictures, Tom?
Best pictures I've made all day.
Okay. Thanks. Todd Hatchett will have to just kind of imagine. His kids always laugh when I draw pictures, okay? Okay, so here's God's ground. Okay? And the disciples are walking with him. They're all walking on the same ground. Now he says to the third party, okay, We want you to fellowship with us. Okay? So, that's really the picture of what fellowship is. Fellowship is walking on the same ground, and real fellowship is walking on God's ground. Okay? So, it gives us a good kind of the opposite of the principle of what should I say? The other half of the principle of the unequal yoke. We have, what is an equal yoke? Okay, so this is where true fellowship is. Now, I would say fellowship is walking on the same ground. Obviously, there are also, in a different realm, there's also degrees of fellowship. Okay? Or you might say levels of fellowship. Okay? There's salvation. People that are saved can walk or can fellowship on the basis of salvation. Okay? But obviously, there are degrees of sanctification. And so those degrees of sanctification are also, you might say, bases of fellowship. It's all the amount of light. I guess that's the subject here, light. You can have fellowship with someone that's saved, but not in obedience to the Lord, but how much fellowship can you have? That's the, there's the principle here of what fellowship. So the key word of fellowship is two key words. The word fellowship is the word common. Common. All right? So, common to what? Well, it's the whole idea. Here's God. He's light. Oop. And the disciples are walking in fellowship with God. They're walking on that same ground. And he's in the receivers of 1 John. He's saying, okay, now we're giving you these commandments so you can have fellowship with us. Okay? Now this is obviously the opposite of the philosophy of the megachurch. What's the philosophy of the megachurch? Philosophy of megachurch is man is here, and God is here, and let's lower the standard of light so we can have more people. And it is true. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Yeah. The lowering, the more the light is lowered, the more people there are available that are walking on that plane. Okay, but the true fellowship is based on being where God is. That's true fellowship. And the First John is written that they might have fellowship. We might have fellowship with God. Where? Here's the truth. These are the commandments. These are the principles. Okay? You walk in the light. You confess your sins when you get out of the light, etc., etc. Now you're walking on the same ground as God. Yes?
Are there any texts where the actual word fellowship is used for degrees of fellowship?
Well, the word common is the word we're dealing with. Okay? So, you have no fellowship, nothing in common with the person that's saved?
I'm just wondering if the word is used that way, like specific text, or if it's just like...
I can't think of any particular text.
Okay.
But what fellowship would there be if there weren't degrees of fellowship?
I mean, I know in the church, like in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says that you might all speak the same thing, be of one mind. So, there's that. But, and I was just wondering if there's text of the word on this, that's all.
Okay. All right. So, now let's go to the opposite. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 22:10. This was the passage we looked at last week. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Now we have a principle of life. And the Apostle Paul uses that principle in 2 Corinthians 6:14. And he uses it as a well-known principle of life that he readily applies to spiritual things. And so let's talk about the whole idea of... the principle of yoking together. Let's look at... I just want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I think there's some interesting principles here of yoking together. Okay, so first of all, we have principle of righteousness. Okay, how does that work? Well, let's just say you have an equal yoke. And you have a husband and wife, one is saved and the other isn't saved. And so the wife says, We don't watch certain things on TV. And Dad says, oh, we do. No problem. Is there a problem in the area of righteousness? That is an area of issue, right? You're talking about a yoke. There's you have an unsaved person in a business with a saved person, and the unsaved person just lies to the client. Yeah, we can have it done in 2 weeks. And the saved person says, you know we can't have it done in 2 weeks. And they say, well, whatever it takes to get the job. There's a problem with unequal yoke, isn't it, in the area of righteousness. Now, what's the other half? Okay. Now, the other half, if you were a farmer and you had a team of horses, okay, what kind of team would you want? They're both Belgian horses. Ha-ha! There you go. You want the kind that pull together. Now, most folks can't imagine that, can they? Because they have worked with horses. But, you know, you could have two Belgian horses, and they can be the same size, and one could be kind of lazy, right? And one could be a little bit persnickety, you know, and one could be kind of flighty. And they're not going to pull the same, are they? And so, in one sense of the word, there's a fine-tuning on this area of a yoke, right? There's the obvious, an ox and an ass, a dog and a cat, a believer and an unbeliever. But what's the other principle? Other principle is you want them to pull together. Okay, and they can be of the same kind, but they're not going to pull very well, necessarily, unless there are some criteria. And so, Apostle Paul here is dealing with some criteria. He says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay? So, the yoke... kind of getting ahead of ourselves, where you're going to get the most done, where you're going to get the most done, where you're going to get the best product, where it's going to be the easiest to accomplish it, is when there is an equality of righteousness. In other words, just the standard of what is right. Okay? There's such a thing as an unequal yoke, but what is an equal yoke? where they're pulling together. All right? Is it important that husband and wife have the same standard of righteousness? Yeah. You know, of course, here's the definition of... we can talk about the unequal yoke in the fact of unsaved marrying saved, or saved marrying unsaved, which is an unequal yoke. And the fact is, there's a whole host of Christianity that doesn't teach that. And I'm not talking about the liberals. I'm talking about Christians. They don't teach it. Okay? But really, what is the equal yoke?
Christ.
What is the equal yoke? The equal yoke is going to produce a godly seed because they have the same standard of righteousness. They have the same standard of righteousness. Okay? So, let's put it this way, okay? So, you have two standards, and they're both Christians, okay? How's it going to turn out?
Going to be turmoil.
Age of wisdom. Grandma Buddha says, turmoil. Okay, and what is going to be affected? Godly seed. Okay. What is one of the principles of young people who really, in their heart, adopt the principle of courtship, not just because they have to? What's the whole principle? This is the principle. A godly seed. It isn't merely the parents being part of the situation and going through the channels and et cetera, et cetera. But the real principle is the godly seed. Okay? Because there's going to be a yoke. And the best yoke is going to be when there is the right view of righteousness, you could have an equal yoke that's not going to produce a godly seed, and that is they're both saved and they both have the same standards, but they're weak. They're weak standards, and they're going to reproduce themselves. Okay, now there's some other, and they're closely related, but we talk about light. That's another principle. What fellowship hath light with darkness? There's only on a standard of righteousness, but and closely related to that is light. Okay, now, kind of how does that fit? Is that I think Ephesians 5:11 fits. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay? How does that picture here, this equal yoke versus an unequal yoke? Again, it's the not only... There's not only a positive here, but there's a negative. Okay? The negative is a positive, but rather reprove them. In other words, it's not only that we're want to walk with light, but we don't want to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. Let's talk about, and so then it says, what conquered hath Christ with Belial, or what part he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So we have all these areas of this yoke described. Light, righteousness, Christ, the temple of God. All these are a part of that yoke. Okay, now let's talk about what are yokes in life that this would apply to. Yes.
Jesus said, "My yoke is light," and that's it refers to the heaviness of life here. And Jesus also says here how to submit to one another. And there you don't have the dragging of the world and this body that we have, which we had talked about weeks back here, which always fights the things of light. So if we submit to Christ, his yoke is light here.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us the answer towards our problems as humans.
Yes, but that word yoke is used in a different realm than this word. Okay? This is the concept of work. This is the concept of relationship. This is the concept of joining together. Okay, that yoke is used in the aspect of the personal relationship with the Lord. Okay. What are the yokes of life that this applies to?
Marriage.
Okay, marriage.
Business partners.
Business. How can a business partner be a yoke?
Well, you have to agree in spiritual things. Yeah, one business partner that says, okay, it works Sunday. Yeah, when everyone says, no, I'm going to church on Sunday. It's the Lord's day, we ought not to work. You got to agree on spiritual things to be in a business partner.
It's more than a casual relationship,
right.
Isn't it? Okay. It's okay. What else?
Friendships.
Huh?
Friendships?
No.
No.
Raising kids.
Raising kids? That's going to be here. Okay.
You don't think friendship?
Church membership? Is that a yoke?
Yeah.
What else?
What about other family members within a relation, unsaved?
Marriage. When you marry somebody, you marry the family. They don't think so, but they do. Right, Thomas? Okay, how about ministry? evangelism, etc. Is that a yoke? Okay. What else?
With the one on friendship, could you say that there's a distinction between being a friend to everyone, like Christ was a friend of sinners, versus having friendship in the sense of you have fellowship with a person?
I would take the principles of a yoke to apply to friendship, but I don't think friendship per se, you know, is a total, is a permanent relationship.
About like Amnon's friend, I just reading that in my devotions with Tamar, and that was a bad guy to have around.
Yeah. Well, the principles of love apply to friendship. And some people's friendships are more than friendships, okay? Okay, what about quasi-religious organizations? You don't know what that word means? In other words, an organization that is not necessarily a spiritual organization, but it has a spiritual basis. Okay? And there are some that are more so than others. A lodge. You know, many lodges are a quasi-religious organization.
Like the Masons?
Huh? Like the Masons, yeah. They have a religious formula or foundation. The outward appearance is a social network, okay? But the root of it is a religious or spiritual. Okay? Any others?
How would you become yoked with them? By giving money or
you're joining them?
So I mean join hands with them even on the on the realm of abortion, yoking hands with them is almost like you're
Oh, now you're getting somewhere else.
Yeah, well I don't agree with yoking hands with unbelievers on an issue as far as even that.
So, would you say that was the problem with moral majority? Let's quasi-religious organizations. We could have lodges. Perhaps we could put down there religious political organizations. I think, now, for instance, the Republican Party wouldn't fit because that is definitely not a religious organization. Now, there is some question to what degree that you would be involved, but, okay. So, but I think the principle, the yoke, is the principle. Two things. First of all, it's the principle of work. Secondly, it's a principle of union. It's a principle of work, and it's a principle of a union. So let's talk about the principles in these different areas here. Okay, so the new evangelical position is, you know, if you want to reach sinners, get involved in a dead church that doesn't preach the gospel, and get involved in it and teach Sunday school. And maybe become the youth leader And you can win souls because those people aren't going to hear the gospel otherwise. You don't think so? Why don't you think so?
You got yourself involved in a big mess.
Yeah, okay.
And that is bound to wear off on you.
All right.
The Israelites, when they went trampling them out.
Okay, so Mrs. Woodrow said that's a big mess, okay? Number one, principle. It is a direct violation of a biblical command. So to do it would be sin. To do it is sin. If God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and you join a church that doesn't preach the gospel, what have you just done?
Make yourself like.
You've sinned. Okay? Now, the new evangelicals say, oh, you're spreading the gospel. But the Bible says the first thing you just did was you sinned. Okay? Now, if you sin, does that put you out of fellowship with God? Yeah. All right? The second thing is, now you have put yourself in a position of being leavened yourself. Right? Okay? You put yourself in a position of being leavened yourself. Because now you put yourself on equal ground with false doctrine, right? Okay? So you can sneak in there with the gospel, but you aren't going to be able to denounce. Right? Are you going to be able to denounce what they teach? No, you can't, because you're there, right? You're not going to be able to denounce their infant sprinkling as evil. You're going to say, well, that's a mistake. I have a better way. It's a mistake. It's not a sin. It's not evil. Okay? And, okay, then the other principle is the principle of waste. The principle of waste. If every believer that is in North Prairie United Methodist Church, if every believer in there walked out, what would happen to that place? There are, I know some. Okay, so you have a unequal yoke, right? You have the dog and the cat. Okay? Who's pulling the load? The dog or the cat?
The dog.
Okay. Okay. The dog's pulling the load, right? Okay. So, I call this the principle of waste. In a unequal yoke, who's carrying the load? The believer, or okay, the believer, and even if it's in a saved relationship, but one, it's not a real equal yoke. Okay. So, in the field, you had two horses. Okay, one was good and one was bad. They're both Belgians, both the same size. Who pulled the load? The ambitious one. And the other one And the other one got the same amount of hay, the same amount of grain, same space in the barn, same amount of pasture. And the bad one might have had to have more vet bills and whatever. My dad always used to say, you never lose a poor horse. Okay? And the good one would die. But I don't know if that's an unsaved person saying something. But, okay, it's the principle of waste. Okay? So the saved person is wasting their time. Because they are spending all that time carrying a dead horse, a dead organization, and they're the one who's pulling the load. Now the same principle is in the spiritual realm. Okay? In the same thing, a spiritual realm is that you could a Christian could be in a Christian church, but that church is weak. That church is weak. Now, who's going to carry the load? The weak people? No, the strong people. The strong people are going to carry the load. And so the same principle in Christianity, okay? Let's just say you're in a mega church, okay? If you're in a mega church, how many people you think tithe in a mega church? How many people think tithe in a mega church?
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. What do you think? 5%. Okay? I ask the question in a simple way. How many teenagers in a mega church tithe? Huh? What do you say? Very, very few, right? That gives you the spiritual temperature. Okay? But the principle carries throughout. Yes?
I feel like you're describing Happy Joe, because this was us. This is exactly what we did. We helped out with the children, the youth ministry, and it was turmoil the whole time. We had children that had no idea what they're doing. They're flashing devilish symbols around there. It's utter chaos. They're playing secular music. They're dancing in there. And I'm not talking about like a joyful dance for God. They're literally, doing mambo jumbo stuff or something in church. And the only ones they relate to, first of all, that they didn't grow up in homes that aren't very biblical. The parents drop them off, so they have some alone time. So we get stuck with, their children, but not for a biblical purpose. And their kids trying to hook up with, men and, girls and boys together. You're trying to separate them. Yet we have maybe 20 minutes tops to try to unteach them what they were taught. We bring it up. The pastor didn't agree with us. We have to say what they're doing is wrong. They would only relate to younger youth people that in leadership that were in high school that had no biblical knowledge whatsoever at all, would teach them complete unbiblical things and say it was biblical. They would only relate to guys that would shave their heads, for a contest. I mean, ridiculous things, mm-hmm. They didn't always relate to me and Bobby Joe because we had a different standard, and it was to the point where we just said we can't do this next year. Mm-hmm. We stayed at the church. Of course we did. But it was a terrible experience.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. As far as people getting saved, almost zero, and anybody that would, maybe one or two, and if they did, I don't even know if it's
mm-hmm.
real.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So the description of an unequal yoke, isn't it?
Yes.
The description of an unequal yoke. And it does, and so the principle not only goes to saved and unsaved, but it goes beyond that. It goes on the principles of light and righteousness and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, Dominique.
Years ago, like a dozen years or so ago, I worked at a Lutheran church as a secretary. There was a dead music and et cetera, et cetera, you know, but it was pretty much funny and prince. And the head pastor came in one day and he was moaning and groaning about how they needed more money for their building project. And I said, well, why don't you start teaching the biblical tithe? And he said, what? He's like, I could never do that. He's like, 10%? Are you kidding? He said, I'd be happy if people would give 1%. Oh. And he said, there's just no way. And then the business manager comes into the office, and she said, no, wait, I have a question. She's like, when you tithe 10%, do you do it of net or gross? And I said, gross. She's like, that's unbelievable. She's like, I can't even fathom that. She's like, there's just no way. No way my husband and I would ever do that. She said, we love to try to increase our giving a little bit every year, but we're not even close to tithing the net. She's like, that's just left field.
Mm-hmm. They'd be glad to have a born-again Christian in there. They'd be glad to. Even though it caused turmoil, they'd love to have that.
We're all born again through baptism, so fine.
So, unequal yoke. Okay. And so, new evangelicalism, one of the principles of evangelicalism is based on a direct disobedience of command of the Bible. And the other half of it is humanism, humanistic thinking. This seems like the way to do it. Okay? And then we have the contrast is that, yes, an equal yoke. Two horses, not a horse and a cat. But it's got to be more than that. It has to be two horses that are on the same page. Otherwise, again, one is pulling the load and the others are coasting. Okay? And so we have a great principle here of the work of the Lord. And you know, religious organizations, you know, they're glad to have, you know, strong, dedicated Christians, but they don't want their convictions. They don't want their convictions. They don't want their beliefs. They want their dedication. They want their what they're going to give, but they don't want their righteousness. They don't want their convictions. They don't want their beliefs. They want them to pull, but they don't want the other half. And so what is an unequal yoke, but what is a real equal yoke? That's the other principle. And the equal yoke is the equal yoke is sweet. Unequal yoke, even though it's an equal yoke, is discouraging because there is not an equality. Okay, so we'll fill in a couple blanks here. Practical application. A yoke results in greater unity and not pulling each other in different directions. Strong believers will always carry a greater load and pull others along against their nature and ability. Just picture the two horses. A lack of understanding, conviction, or perspective will drag down and prevent real spiritual fruit. And that's what the work of the Lord is, producing real spiritual fruit. And so the principles of faith, of belief, of light, of righteousness, convictions, of devotion, all of these principles produce are the ingredients to pulling together and doing the work of the Lord. Okay. Okay. Guess we are over time wise. Yes.
What are the answers to the blanks for part one and part two?
Part one, the yoke is sharing, caring, and working together. B is righteousness. C is devotion to a relationship with Christ. Under two, A is the work of the local, of the Lord, local church, evangelism, missions. B, religious enterprise. C is marriage. D is business ownership. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless this time and these truths. And Lord, might you be glorified in these important principles in our lives, that we could make the most of our life for God and for your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.